Hanging at Stadium Swim inside Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
But like to be taken out of the lineup on any other team in the Olympics as an NBA player, not named Team USA, is kind of crazy.
We really are, as a whole, Americans, just arrogant asses. And we are led by guys like Dr. Dre, Draymond Green, Dr. Dre. We'll build on that. Him on his, it's still a really weird podcast. He sets up a camera and just, it's just too close to it and just talks. And it's just blather. And he's giving his commentary on the French team and their freaking roster and lineup. Dude.
New media.
Yeah, we're exactly. Exactly. I can't say it enough. You may not like us in the traditional media, but we are a filter in very important times. He needs a filter all the time. Now he's a freaking French basketball expert worrying about what the French coach is doing with Rudy Gobert, who, by the way, he tried to freaking choke out during the season. Now he's concerned about Gobert's playing time. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. Olympic updates. Really cool basketball today. Let's do a giveaway to start the 5 o'clock hour. Greg Salerno's here. It's Cofield, Mateo. We're on the overhang at Circa, Circa Sports. Love being in here. Victory Burger. Sammy Hagar is playing. I like Sammy Hagar. I saw him a couple years ago. I thought he was awesome.
Still, I like Sammy.
Still full of energy. Brilliant dude, or he's got some brilliant people around him. His riches are beyond belief.
Oh, yeah.
He's connected. He's got a new product coming out the time, but he can still play. He can still sing. I think he's like 73 now. It's called the Best of All Worlds Tour. Loverboy is the special guest. This Friday. MGM Grand Garden Arena, AXS.com. Caller 7. Griffin will hook you up with a pair of tickets. Caller 7. Sammy Hagar. 364-1100, 364-1100. Caller 7. So I know you watched USA.
Yeah.
Against Serbia. Did you get a gander at France and Germany, and Wemby went friggin' ballistic.
Absolutely ridiculous. He had a quadruple double, which I don't think I've ever seen at a 40-point game before. I mean, 40 points. If you're a casual and hadn't really watched a lot of the U.S., the Olympics, it's only 10-minute quarters. So you got to think this dude was balling, man. I got to say, dude, and I know people have been saying this for a while, I think within 2 years he's the best player in the NBA.
I mean, I'm not going to fight you.
He's that good.
And it's not like, hot take. He's something we've never seen.
He really is
a legit inside-outside threat who can guard out to small forward, can shoot out to small forward, can put the ball on the floor. He is an absolute freak.
He's so good that, I want USA to win, but I'd almost not be that upset if they lost to him just because if he had some ridiculous, 50-point quadruple-double or something, just because it would be cool to watch, the future of the world happening in front of our eyes type of thing.
You remember back to last July when he had his debut at the Summer League?
Yeah, of course. And, he sucks. Bust. This guy's going to stink. But, that same week he came out and had 30, I think, too. So it's not like he waited a very long time to show who he was. But
we really are the worst. American sports fans.
Yeah. Right.
I do my best to talk you off the ledge, but the problem is I'm on the ledge often. Way too fast with judgments. It's a long-haul process. Most of us have no idea what we're talking about. You folks out there, us on the air, chill. Let things develop. But it's the way of the world. We got to have hot takes every day, right?
Oh, of course.
So your hot take early on in this show was Serbia had a bunch of what, plumbers?
I said vacuum salesman, they could be plumbers. Here's the thing is, I'm like Adam, where I truly believe that the world has gotten so much better since the Dream Team that, these teams would smoke some of those teams. I think that – I don't know if Serbia would murder the Dream Team, but I think they would win. I'm sorry. I just think they would. That being said, compared to today's NBA players, the evolution of the league, there's some guys in that team where I'm come on, man. You're letting this dude, hit these – turn around, fall away, jump shot, threes. Come on. He's hitting these, Jordan-esque Kobe mid-range shots. This guy's hitting them from the logo. No, that's not that's luck. I'm sorry. It's not going to repeat itself. So, yeah, I did say that. And plus, I was very emotional at the time, calling them bums and stuff while I was watching the game. But
who are the bums, Serbians or the Americans?
The Serbians. Oh, both. Well, first of all, I was adamant that America was not going to be allowed back into the country if they had lost that game. But yeah, the Serbians too. I was calling them all kinds of names. I shouldn't have been. I was mean. I shouldn't have been doing that.
Damn. No. I was on local TV 2 weeks ago. Griffin heard it, right? We pulled it.
There's
got the soundbite. We have a crazy dude who's claiming up on TikTok about 2 weeks ago. Like he's like, they're not going to win. They're not going to win. I just stole his material. Now I've been saying for a while, I think there's a chance that they could not win the gold. Today was probably the final hurdle. I think some of it is about focus, but especially defensive focus. But yeah, there are some people out there who thought USA had some flaws, and the rest of the world has some really good players, and someone could rise up and win the gold. Fire this.
I keep telling everyone that the U.S. is not winning the Olympics this year. And apparently, I'm the crazy one. I keep telling people that the world has caught up to the U.S., but they don't believe it.
I don't think USA men are going to win the gold. They're minus 400 favorites. I would bet someone else. I think they're going to lose and not win the gold medal. I don't think this team, as it's built right now, could beat the Boston Celtics. You know, obviously, Tatum would be off the team and White would be off the team. I don't think they could beat the NBA champion. I don't think there's enough cohesion.
Now, that's a hot take. Jason Tatum's not even playing for Team USA. They wouldn't miss him. He doesn't get playing time.
0 minutes.
And you know what is the value of that story? Zero. It doesn't matter. Like, if they don't think he is one of the best contributors, then he doesn't play.
Well, Halliburton didn't play either. And everybody crying about that.
Well, you remember a week ago after it happened in the, I think it was the opening game, like people were like, that's disrespectful. Kendrick Perkins and Stephen A are flipping out. Like, oh, this is a curb creation. He's trying to stick it to the, like, what?
That's what you call manufactured drama.
Yes. It's someone coaching basketball, deeming who deserves to be in the rotation, and sometimes there are games where everyone doesn't get to play.
And they haven't lost a single game either. So.
Could the Boston Celtics beat Team USA? Let me restate it.
Wait,
Could they beat them today?
No.
Who's better, the Boston Celtics of this year or Serbia?
Okay, I mean, are the Celtics going to hit shots they've never hit in their whole life and will never hit again? Because, again, I think they were shooting like 97% from the three at some point, this Serbian team. It was ridiculous. Like, I couldn't believe – I was honestly seething watching these shots go in that they're just throwing up in the air. I mean, some of them – this one guy had Embiid in his face. I think Embiid, his height difference was like a foot, and the guy somehow arced the ball straight up in the air. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, I guess – if they're hitting those kind of shots, they'll beat anybody, except for this USA team, obviously.
Could the Celtics win a game? If they had a seven-game series, what would the series be?
Yeah, I think the Celtics. I mean, because, you know, any team, they have a lot of – they're all professional basketball players. I think they'd win a game. Yeah, sure. Not many.
I think the Celtics would win the gold. Even though I've been back in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
I will lean heavily on the team aspect of it.
You mean because they're cohesive and they know
yes,
it? Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt that.
I think being a team does matter, and being a group of all-stars isn't always what you think it's going to be.
Yeah, but again, if a guy can kick a ball in from half court, I mean, not much you can do about it.
Just so over-dramatizing what happened. Like, it was the biggest fluke ever.
It really was.
But you are a devotee. As strong as people are in being anti-LeBron, you are pro-USA. You are really a true patriot.
I really am.
You love this country.
Oh, I was flabbergasted at people rooting for their loss at halftime, people laughing and rooting. I'm like, are you American or not?
I heard Doug Gottlieb today. I like his show. And I mention it all the time on our sister station. Coach Doug Gottlieb, who's going to do radio part-time and also coach at Green
Bay.
That's right. Which I still think it's incredible. It shows how easy this is, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Doug. If the bosses are listening, it's different. Totally different. He's got a staff of 38.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Gottlieb on his show today was saying it would be a great basketball story and great for the sport if Serbia beat USA.
Why?
Because it shows that anything is possible and that teamwork beats out all-stars and athleticism.
Yeah, it sucks. I hate that take. It's stupid. I also, by the way, I don't know, we probably brought this up before. I'm not a big fan of underdogs either. So, like, it messes with my OCD. Like, if I think somebody should win and they don't, I just can't handle it. There's something wrong there. I'll start hitting my head. I might. I don't know.
The funny thing is, with Americans, we all think we like underdogs, but many of us don't come to grips with what it means when an underdog wins and advances in a tournament.
Right.
Because then we're like, this final sucks. Like,
yeah, of
you're
course.
The one who wanted the underdog.
That's exactly it.
Look, where are all the big powers? Like, you were running for the underdog. You wanted chaos. Here's chaos.
That's exactly it. Yeah, the best time in the NBA I remember in the last 20-something years was the Cavs versus Warriors every year. You knew it was going to be the Cavs Warriors. They go in there, or even when the Heat, whatever. There always has to be like an enemy that you know is going to win or you know is going to be there. Or else it's not fun. Parody sucks.
Yep. Baseball. Screw the Yankees.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers.
Right.
All right. Rangers, Diamondbacks World Series. Have at it. Not watching that. It sucks. Like, well, you wanted this.
Yeah, I know. I think, does anybody remember the Royals were in the World Series like a few years ago? I never hear that brought up ever.
They do in Kansas City.
Yeah,
that's what they got.
Yeah.
And they will hang on that. I don't think they lie in Kansas City. I don't think they're really fine with it. But the fact that they got a World Series, they could more easily deal with like 9 straight years of, you know, 90-plus losses. And now they're good again, so that's good. But your rebuild shouldn't be like every 10 years.
How are you with that? Like, if let's say you're the Bills, right, and you lose all those Super Bowls, would you rather have a long run of Super Bowls so the season's fun and you're anticipating, or win one Super Bowl and then lose for another 10 years or five years?
Well, I'm also coming from a completely different position in football.
That's true.
Like, I'm so desperate for just one.
Yeah.
But I've made the argument that I think it would be more fun to be a Twins fan than a Royals fan. Now, I think people on the outside of those teams have no idea. So they're like, oh, who cares?
Right.
Both don't win World Series. Like, yeah, but the Twins win every year. They just don't achieve in the playoffs. I would rather have something every year
to do, yeah.
You know, that is fun and there's some expectations,
sure.
And they win, you know, 87-94, then freaking by July you're like, this sucks. On our way to 100 losses again. But then
right.
There are other people who are like, they won a title. That's all that matters. They got that one title, I guess.
Yeah, but then you ask those same people. That's like when the Phillies, I remember the Phillies won a World Series. They were booing like halfway through the first game of the opener of the next season.
Yeah.
It's like it only satisfies you for a little bit.
You're not going to do it again, like right now? Nope, might not be the same year. No. They might win 86 and not win the World Series. Well,
right.
The hell with that. There's so many weird stories coming out of the Olympics. We caught you earlier ogling a young lady who, you know, by the way, I don't think that was fair what happened to me. We were asking for your favorite female athlete who maybe you didn't know about, both in terms of achievement, I will objectify, you know, looks and
yeah.
Whatever. Gabby Thomas is really impressive, 200-meter runner, Ivy League educated, like 19 degrees, super smart, probably can be a model when she's done with this if she wants to do it,
sure.
An actress, whatever. I made a joke that you, off the air, you picked a 17-year-old from Norway. You didn't know she was 17.
Correct.
Then I bring up a 20-year-old wrestler because I like wrestling.
Yeah.
And then Xavier Pope was like, I mean, 20, you're getting kind of creepy. Like, I didn't – this wasn't a – it isn't I want to outright doink the athlete. It was I find their story interesting. I find something attractive. Even if, like in my case, I don't – like I wasn't looking at this young lady as like a true beaut.
Right.
But I can find beauty in achievement, and also like I like the rugby player. And now I'm blanking on her name. It just went out of my head. But
the one that stiffs arms everybody and just runs everybody
she's like,
over.
She's like 5'10", 200 pounds. Like
right.
I watching her truck down the field, I think is freaking cool. And this wrestler she's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think Griffin would understand this, now that you can't, but wrestling is such a base in mixed martial arts, and you're always kind of looking for the next star.
Like judo, right?
That, of course, yeah, because Rousey came from judo, and Kayla Harrison is from judo. Like, Griffin, I don't believe this woman. Like, they'd have to have an upper weight class, because right now, really, they have to stop at about 145 pounds. Like, this, I don't think she could cut from 170. Did you watch her at all?
Yeah, definitely. I've seen a couple clips of her on social media. She's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she's going to – at 5'7 and 170 pounds, I don't think she's going to be able to cut to 145. You know what, though? That said, I think Harrison might have been that big, but I feel like Harrison – let's say Harrison had a softer build. This lady is a freaking truck at 170.
She would definitely have to cut some weight. I mean, the weight cuts are crazy, and you see the athletes, especially in UFC or other promotions, they cut weight so largely from what their normal just walk around weight is. I mean, it wouldn't be the craziest thing. We've seen guys like Khabib make 155 pounds when he's pretty much 200 pounds.
I don't know, man. But I, you know what? She's a great story, and maybe she'll turn out to – she'll just do amateur slash, you know, pro wrestling. I don't mean – yeah, she could do WWE. She's gigantic. She could probably get to 200 pounds if she wanted to. She's thick. She's muscular.
Well,
man, she's good, though. I enjoy – I don't know if you watched it, Griffin, but I forget how much I like wrestling. I know it's like a very niche thing, but it is impressive watching someone freaking just throw someone else around like a rag doll and control them and switch positions and all that.
I got to apologize, too, because I totally threw you under the bus with Xavier when
She's 20. I didn't, you know.
Well,
I'm not Belichick. I'm not going to date her.
I was trying to act like I wanted to change the topic I was covering for my own ass. Yeah.
Well, I did. We're usually like really rapid and fast with guests.
Yeah.
And I just went off into my own world. And then I got to the end and I'm like, I think this is interesting, but I think the two guys with me are like, dude, you're going on for 3 minutes about amateur wrestling in the Olympics. You got to stop.
Yeah, if it's good, it's good, man. That's why the Olympics are great, though, because you see things you don't normally see or don't normally follow, and then works out good.
I think they've been great. I forget how many cool sports there are. And
yeah.
I mean, I think that, like I said earlier, I think that handball is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
And like, to go back to Draymond Green and the arrogance of Americans, we kind of are horses' asses when we watch every sport and we're like, I mean, if we really dedicated to it, we would kill everyone in rugby. Well, I mean, we've had opportunity. Like, why don't we have good teams? Why aren't we elite?
Well, come on.
I mean, I know you're going to do it. Like,
well, the best rugby players in the world are like our punters in NFL and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, we could put together a rugby team if we want to.
Could we?
Yeah, they're in the NFL.
Well, not all of them are.
Could you imagine of these guys in the NFL playing in these rugby leagues?
I don't think it would be a walkover, man. I think you're disrespecting rugby.
I mean, I'm not disrespecting them. They just get murdered. That's all.
I think, I'll say this. I believe the elite rugby countries, if they had their number one team and the U.S. tried to throw together like a, hey, these guys just fell short of the NFL team.
Right.
Without a lot of training, they get smoked. Now, with some training, I don't know where. I honestly don't follow rugby close enough to know who makes up our American teams. I would think we should be good, but there's a lot. I mean,
that's kind of like soccer.
Isn't the worst example? Like, we have just beaten our head against the wall for 40 years. Soccer people are like, it's coming. The build is there. It's coming. It's developing. Like, Adam Hill is classic for that. And by the way, Adam will be back next week with some shows. But, you know, this is the target year. I'm like, why is it taking 54 years to build a freaking elite soccer team?
Well, that's the thing, though, is because the pool is – we don't have –
No, it's not, but it's not.
Yeah.
Did you play any soccer as a kid?
No.
Okay. I will not be the butt of a joke here because I know how you're going to turn this around. I'm not doing it.
Do it. It's too late.
I played a lot of soccer.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, I mean, your immediate response should be – that's the pool I'm talking about is Cofields. No. Most of our young people in this country for 40 years have played some soccer.
I don't know anybody that played soccer when I was a kid. Nobody. We all played either football or baseball.
Why didn't you play soccer?
I don't know. It was football or baseball all the time some basketball.
I didn't play football. But
I think it depends on where you're from, too, because a lot of people play hockey in the Northeast. I never played hockey.
I'm from a football state, from New Jersey.
Yeah.
But I also am not big. I'm big now, but it's like big fat. It's not.
Were you fast?
I could run a little bit. I mean, I could in soccer. I'll say I was a gritty, gutty type, dirty person.
Yeah.
So.
You'd be good in football then.
No, I wouldn't. It's not big enough. Unless I got on steroids. I mean, I would. There's no. Even on roids, I probably couldn't have gotten to like beyond like 200 pounds, like in decent shape.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just feel like if the pool was bigger. Like, we don't.
It's gigantic.
But we don't. It's not a big sport here.
I think we have a flawed system. There's some. I can't figure it out.
It's not a big sport.
But I think it is evidence that when Americans are like, if we tried, like, we've tried in a lot of sports. We're just not good at certain sports.
It's like boxing to me, man. When I was growing up, boxing was like, it's whatever downtrodden or whatever group at the time is not doing particularly well or not seen as doing particularly well. That's where the pool comes from. And now that's why a lot of the countries are kick our ass in boxing because. You know, they've had more people doing it.
I don't want to be mean, but I think I need to here for a second. Yeah. And I don't want to bring up this is all dead and buried for me. I put it away. I put it in the distance. But I don't feel bad for Zach Wilson and what's happening so far in Denver. Apparently, the former Jets quarterback, number 2 pick, out of BYU. He's not even in the rotation of first-team reps. He's not competing on the same level as Bo Nix, who's what, like 5 years older than him, something like that, and Stiddy.
Yeah,
he's right now. It looks like he's clearly the three, which I think means he's probably not going to make the team. On his falling out of first team reps, quote, "I've got no control over that. The worst thing you can do is let that affect you. I'm just trying to get better and stack days." I did bury it, but this is a pathetic look for the Jets.
Of course.
That their scouting department thought he was worthy of a number two pick in the draft and that he was a franchise quarterback. And listen, for Sean Payton, you know what? You give it a go. If you can't reinvent the guy, then okay, you didn't lose anything. You didn't spend a second number two pick in the draft on him. But I do believe there is a chance that a former number two pick could be out of the NFL. And a guy that you ever see that list every year when it gets real thin around the league of quarterback?
Yeah.
And it, like forever, for like 10 years straight, it was always like, hey, Jeff George available. Like, he's 39.
Right.
He's 40. He's 41. He's 42. Like, is Zach Wilson going to be that guy at 26 years old?
You know, that's actually that's a good comparison because I do think attitude played a part with George, and I think attitude is playing a part with Wilson. I mean, from all accounts, wasn't the greatest locker room guy. Maybe guys didn't like him very much. And I thought it was kind of a weird fit anyway for him. Not talent-wise, I don't, you know, who knows. But attitude-wise, I didn't think him and Peyton would get along very well. And maybe that has something to do with this. I don't know.
He's just – he's really immature.
Yeah.
And, by the way, he's 25. He just turned 25 6 days ago. He's only 25.
Jeez. Yeah.
But they're not going to keep – like, Zach Wilson is not a number three quarterback. That job goes to –
right.
A guy who's going to make nothing.
Right.
And never play unless it's in desperation. But,
right.
Boy, this didn't work out for him. It didn't work out for the Jets. And now he's the number three guy with the Broncos. Yikes. It's bad, man.
He sucks.
I was going to try not to be super mean.
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just objective.
Okay. We're going to put everyone to the test for the second day in a row. And I'm not saying people on the show yesterday weren't adults. But I will say they're part of a larger group that I don't think gets it with Jim Harbaugh, and I think you might be one of them. I don't want to do it before we get to it, but the Harbaugh thing is really eating at me. I think the talk so far and some of the stuff I saw nationally today with both Hurd and Greeny is so sophomoric, so lacks any depth. There's such a bigger picture on Jim Harbaugh, as I called him yesterday, a low-character dirtbag that we need to get to, so I'll try again today. I guess I'm going to have to be the adult again on Cofield and Company and around the country. Back here, Circa Las Vegas. we had some weird conversations, and I stopped one of them, and I said it's hogwash, but I will get to it here in 60 seconds. I have to. Greg Salerno, Cofield, Mateo at Victory Bar. Bet Bash is going on this weekend. Remember, a couple weeks from now, the ultimate weekend for folks who want more betting information, want to hobnob with the stars of radio down here at Circa Las Vegas, the ultimate weekend for players, contestants in Circa Survivor and Circa Million. Combined, the contests have $16 million guaranteed. So really cool. They do it as big and better than almost everyone. They're setting the market. Actually, I had a friend in town. I just tweeted out his picture. Because I felt bad about stumbling a couple times on the show. So I said, if today's show sucks, blame this guy. He was one of my first PDs.
Nice. Yeah. I thought you meant Paulie Walnuts at first.
No, I love this one. If you're just with us and you didn't watch USA and Serbia today, Serbia almost did it. And I did recommend a couple weeks ago, right side lost today. No. That someone was going to really test the mettle of USA, and the Serbians did. They were up. After the first, the halftime, third quarter, 8 minutes left, 11-point lead, and then down the stretch, do the quick math. What was it, like 28-13 run, right? I think I got that right.
Yeah, it sounds right.
And they went at 95-91, and someone had tweeted out a picture of Paulie Walnuts on the phone, and he just says, yeah, Tone, it's me. Jokic gave up down the stretch, just like we told him to. He didn't give up, but Serbia played like crap. And give credit to USA. They played really good defense.
Sure.
The easier shots were not there. And LeBron and company. That's not even fair to say, is it? Steph and company. KD and company.
Yeah, I think all three of them.
And by the way, for all you suckers out there who were getting on Joel Embiid's ass.
Yeah, good game.
He was great down the stretch.
He really was.
He was part of the run. He had seven straight points, some back-to-the-basket stuff. He had a key block on a layup attempt by Serbia. The big fella did a good job, and he's dealt with it as hard as anyone on the team, all the haters.
Yeah, well, he was getting hated on by USA and France. So, I mean, he didn't have anybody on his side, and then he wasn't really performing the way you would expect him to.
Good storyline in the final. He is going to get booed every time he touches the ball.
That's true. I thought it was – and the thing about LeBron, too, is he has that, like, you know, Swiss Army knife aspect to him, so he does all these little stupid things that you don't really notice in the box score towards the end, too.
Stupid things include – when it's time to go to the hole, like not, you know, with no hesitation. There was a break where he could have passed the ball, and he's like, "No, we're the D is going to take care of me, or else."
Right.
And he just charged past one player, went into the lane, made a lefty layup. Might have been almost a reverse on the left side.
Man, there was a turnaround jumper he hit too. The strength it would take to have somebody had the hand on the ball, and somehow he had muscled through it and made that little turnaround jumper at the end. So yeah, Steph was great too. Hit a bunch of threes. I thought it was awesome. It was a really fun game. I mean,
you're hyped up.
If they didn't win, I would have been pissed, but it was really fun to watch.
What if they don't win against France? Right back to it?
Yeah. No, don't come back. Just keep them
don't
there.
Come back.
Keep them there. Keep them there with that crappy plumbing for at least an extra month.
Could this be Yankee-level anger? You get pretty
– I do.
You get pretty messed up when the Yankees are struggling.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Yankees have the best record in baseball right now, so obviously all these idiots that were complaining, I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, if you said Brian Cashman shouldn't be there anymore, you're a dummy. So I'll just throw that out there. But
that sounds so much different than
everything I've previously said.
Multiple occasions on the show when you're some rando starting pitcher in the major league shuts him down. Aaron Judge doesn't hit four homers in a game, which he has to do almost every time with this offense.
Do you think they're going to have a harder time? I think they're going to have an easier time. I think France might be a better team than Serbia with Wemby out there. I think just because of Wemby. But do you think they're going to have an easier time versus France than they did against Serbia?
No.
No.
Say it again. Easier?
Yeah. Like, will they win?
Let me correct it. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I was. Word salad got me there. Now, I got confused. No, I think they will have an easier time defending.
Yeah.
The French. Well, it depends. You know, let's see who gets playing time. If they go double big for extended periods, and I think the ball gets too sticky, clearly. Well, first of all, can we give credit to Jokic? He is the best basketball player in the world.
He is
better than any American. We have some really good players. He's the best team player.
He's great. He's an offense all to himself.
Right.
Yeah. No, he's amazing. I don't know if France is going to – I mean – if France has, like, three crepe salesmen that all of a sudden are throwing no-look, you know, hook shots from the half court, then you never know, but we'll see.
I like watching – like, it's so against the grain of what we think basketball is, and it really isn't. But I love watching Jokic in the post because he – like, I just talked about sticky.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when it gets sticky with a Gobert or a Wemby, the ball might not go anywhere productive. Like, you know there's a purpose to 85 dribbles by – Jokic as he's backing someone down. There was a post-up situation inside of 3 minutes where LeBron got switched onto Jokic. And I'm like, this is freaking like 6'8", 270 guy against, you know, chubby 300-pound, 7-footer. And it was just like, boom. And he was moving LeBron. And then finally LeBron's like, all right, enough. And like rake down his arm. He's like, I'm tired of this play.
Right.
Like, I'm getting freaking battered here. Enough. But it was impressive that LeBron, you know, basically an overweight tight end was out there battling the 7-footer. But, yeah, Jokic is awesome. And I actually – I'll say it like I said in the first hour. I think Denver is going to be back in the final. I think Denver is the favorite to win the title. I think they have one of the best coaches. He's got to get more flexible with his rotation and play more guys and play younger guys. They got young guys for him last year, and then he's like, no, I'm not going to play him. Like, no, you have to play them.
Does Murray worry you at all? Like, what you've seen from him in the Olympics, he looks pretty bad.
That is a great touche, because I cannot stand Jamal Murray.
Yeah, me neither.
And that could be their undoing. Is I don't know where he goes from here in terms of his mentality. Is he going to grow up and start being consistent, or is he going to be a stubborn horse's ass?
I'm hoping he's a horse's ass, because I don't want them to win. But
we'll
see.
Like, to the point where Jokic can't overcome it.
Right. I always wanted to ask you this too about Jokic, because I know we both agree he's great. Would you defend him? I feel like teams always double him, and then he's like, oh, look, and then he just throws it to a wide-open guy. Why wouldn't you single him up more and make him, you know, back you down or whatever?
Well, this is the great thing with Jokic, and we always try to do it on Sports Talk, and people do it on social media. Like, we're all coaches, and we can figure it out. Like they've tried everything. You're right. You have to kind of pick your poison about minimizing the damage he does, and is he more dangerous as a guy who pitches the ball than scoring? Like, do you just accept it, like make it hard for him to score as 40?
Yeah.
But don't allow him to lead to another 54 from other people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just the guy, but I would think that's how I do it. That's how I would do it, because – or at least if you're going to have somebody maybe half-double him but not commit, because it looks like there's always a guy wide open every time they do it, and he just finds the guy immediately.
So I was ranting and raving earlier about being an adult. I want to get to that in 2 minutes. I do have to bring up another – it's not a personality flaw on your part, and I'm all for all of us throwing someone else on the show on the couch and examining them, because we're all a little bit wacky. You're kind of crazy. I think you throw caution to the wind. Right now, I still think you're living this Howard Hughes life, like in and out of hotels, which I admire. But you're also very self-conscious, which I don't get. Like, I don't know why you would care what anyone else thinks, but you do.
Depends on the situation. I'm very superficial, and with social media these days, there's a lot of people on there that like haven't seen you in a long time, you know, in person, but that still follow you. So whenever like a picture or an image or something goes up there where it's like, I feel like people are like, what the hell happened to this guy? Then, yeah, I get self-conscious about that kind of stuff.
I mean, again, this is not to rip you, but like, you have to come to grips with who you are.
Yeah, but I cannot be that. If I keep working, I'll get down to normal again, and then they won't see.
You're just going
to
hide for like
3 years? Yeah, I'm going to hide till like 50 more pounds, and then I'll go back out in the open and have a big reveal.
This is the crazy one. You said to me during the break that in the future you may look to live abroad, and then you were pitching me like really good hotel deals in Southeast Asia, and then you mentioned Thailand, and I was like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I've heard great things about it.
Yeah.
You know, you're single. And then you're like, but I don't know, man. There's some image issues, and you know, people think certain things about Thailand. I'm like, why would you care?
Well,
you're living abroad.
Most countries, I wouldn't care. Thailand, and specifically, though, I mean, every time somebody tells me a guy moves to Thailand, I'm like, oh boy. So I just assume that right away. Like, you know.
I mean, I don't judge. I don't know what his life is. I think he's happily married, but like, Magnum is a Southeast Asia aficionado.
Yeah, but Thailand's different.
He visits all the time.
Yeah, but China, Japan, you know, even Taiwan.
Is it different?
It's different when...
Is it different?
I don't know. Well, maybe. I don't know. I just feel like Thailand...
Just go and do what you want to do. Who cares?
$100 a week, man. Five-star hotel.
Right? People are going to be like, where's Salerno? Ugh. Like, cares about those people?
I don't know. I just feel like it's a little... Thailand's a little shady. I hear bad things.
We want to broaden this show's reach.
Yeah. I'll do it live from Italy.
We need you abroad. We need you in Thailand.
I'm honestly working on it.
We have at least 2 days coming up that are still open for show locations.
Yeah.
I mean, you're at a Phuket bar.
Yeah.
Go to the Philippines. I don't know. Go to like what's down there? And like Angeles City, or isn't that down there? Is that down there? Not that I've ever looked this stuff up. But like we need to go worldwide. You could be the guy.
Dude, I'd love it. Another thing I hate, though, is bugs. And a lot of those places are tropical, and they have, like, bugs the size of this microphone.
You're impossible to deal with.
I know.
There's so many standards.
I have a lot of rules.
You know what we'll do? Because I'm pretty sure about half the guys at Bet Bash all live in Southeast Asia.
Yeah?
So we'll go get some advice from them after we're done in about 25 minutes.
I'll ask them.
Okay, time to be the adult in the room. And I don't want to put words in your mouth. Jim Harbaugh, NCAA penalizes him. Does the penalty mean nothing?
I think it means something, as in you kind of left your team high and dry and just took off when things got bad. But as far as him being an NFL coach, I mean, unless he's going to go back to college in the next 4 years, I mean, would he care? Does he care what people think about him? Is he like me? Or, you know, does he just not give a crap?
That's a good point. And we actually set this up brilliantly. Hold on. Let me pat myself on the back.
Yeah, good job.
I watch multiple radio guys, and I'll even – well, I mean, Paul Feinbaum is a radio guy. Feinbaum, Heard, Greeny today do this whole bit.
Oh, the NCAA, what a joke. Toothless, he's never going back. What does he care? What do we care?
You don't care about someone's character. You don't care about what they do to other people. You don't care about the effect they have on others. You don't care about the standard they set. And yesterday we started to get into this whole, like, well, what about this person? And what about them? I don't give a crap about that person. His case.
Yeah.
And I tried to throw it out there yesterday, and I will continue to – and the story's not going to play out for 4 or 5 years. I'm telling you, coaches like that, it's a very fine line. And like in the NFL, if you don't have a quarterback and you're a low-character guy and people got to believe in you and follow you, things can fall apart real quickly. Like Belichick worked for the longest time. Didn't work that well in Cleveland, and it didn't work after Brady. Harbaugh was run out on the rail, and, you know, he wanted to go back to college. The Niners were so done with him. Players were done with him.
Yeah.
Listen, there are NFL franchises that are desperate. The Chargers are desperate to win. He is a short-term winner. But mark my word, 4 or 5 years from now, I will come back to this and go, see? That's who you got. And some of the good times are worth it, but I told you this was going to happen when someone acts like Jim Harbaugh. There is a certain standard to uphold when you're a supposed leader and discipline and loyalty and dedication, and then your leader is anything but that in the worst times, and then you're like, wait, I was supposed to follow this guy? That will happen with L.A.
Do you stick to those things, though, when it's your team? Like, here, example, because you made me think of this talking about quarterbacks and bad character. I'm a huge dog fan, like love dogs. And when the Michael Vick thing happened, I was like, oh, I hate that guy. What a piece of garbage, that guy, blah, blah, blah. The first time he ran off 20-yard run for the Eagles, man, I was cheering, laughing, high-fiving my friends. Like, would you be able to stick with it if it was in your best interest?
Probably not. Would I be able to stick with my ban on someone or my dislike?
Yeah, like,
on someone?
Would you still hate them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I don't want Belichick for the Jets. I'd rather not win than be around, have Belichick around.
Okay.
F Belichick. He screwed them 20 years ago when he resigned on a cocktail napkin. I think actually it was Parcells that screwed them.
Right.
By the way, Parcells is one of those guys, but he got away with it because Parcells, just like Harbaugh, is like 4-year stop guy, and then everyone's like, this guy's kind of a slime bucket.
Right.
And then when you're not winning, the coach is like, I got to get the hell out of here. Like, they're not all that loyalty and dedication and hard work and whatever Parcells' stupid speech with the Giants that he did.
Right.
Like, it doesn't apply to him. As soon as things start to go south, he's always looking for the next stop.
Because
he can see it. He's like, these guys don't believe me anymore. Like, stop buying my bull crap. And Harbaugh's the same way. So, Charger fans enjoy it. But I'm telling you, rough times are coming for Michigan, and they kind of deserve it because they signed up for it and they stuck with the assistant that they hired now in Sherrone Moore. That was their culture. They agreed to it. But it's like, this isn't victimless. And I'll give you one more thing. You know, let's take a break. Because the other case that Hurd was pitching, I'll tease it this way. Please stop telling me that guys who are making $6, $8, $10, $15 million a year to be the CEO of something don't know everything that is going on. All of a sudden, they turn into, you know, freaking whoever, Sammy the Bull Gravano, and it's like, I'm old, I'm dying, like, I'm a broken, bitter
like
shell
the end of
man.
Casino.
Like, you're not.
Yeah.
Stop faking.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
On the show, when we mentioned a lot of the TV talking heads, like, I'm fans of all these guys, and they're really good, right? They're all really good. I was, you know, getting on Greeny, who had like five people on to back up his stance on the Michigan Harbaugh Chargers thing. That, like, it doesn't matter. The NCAA is a joke, and it just went around in circles. And they come back to Finebound for a second time. He's like, "Are we going to do this again?" He basically like outed him. Like, this is really lazy what we're doing right now. Hurd made a case, and I think it's this is one of Collins' guys. He picks certain people to stick with, and
yeah, it's weird. And he hates on certain people too.
So in the face of all the hate that Harbaugh got in the middle of last season with the cheating allegations, he was like the Harbaugh hero.
Right.
And so he was on talking about Harbaugh and this Michigan penalty, and he actually said, he's just a football coach. You got 85 players, you know, this much staff, the trainer, this, that, 100-plus people. I mean, you're not going to know about what everyone's doing. Yeah, you are, actually. Most of the time, you do. And the stuff that's being alleged, he did. And if he didn't, then he should be fired. That's lack of institutional control, and then you're not worth $6, $8, $10 million. I'm telling you, Most good football coaches know every freaking nook and cranny of their program. Nothing really slips by. And then even better, he tried to pivot to, he's like, well, I mean, Rick Pitino, basketball is different. He should have known. There's only like 20 people that you got to keep an eye on. The excuses for Pitino years ago that he didn't know and became some old doddering fool were also insulting to all of us. Stop doing that. High-achieving millionaire coaches know just about everything. Nothing is being done under their nose or behind their back. Cut it out.
I mean, even if it was like, you know, I don't know, a crime, violence, something like that, I could kind of maybe be like, oh, maybe he didn't, I don't know. But when it's something that directly affects the game, they were cheating, trying to get the signs from the other team, which means he had to incorporate them into the game plan. How would he not know?
He knew.
That's what I mean.
And anyone who believes that, oh, they didn't do it, they don't have proof, they knew. They knew at the beginning of last year what other teams were running. They knew the year before. They knew. And they're going to try to pin this on Sherrone Moore, but Harbaugh comes out of it still very, very dirty. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Do we piss off Yankee fans or Cowboy fans here? What do we do? Where do you want to start?
I'm already pissed off, so I guess go ahead. Whatever you want.
8-1. Angels up. Tyler Anderson, Vegas guy, Spring Valley High guy. Solid, but not spectacular. But he's shutting down the Yankees, and Nestor Cortez fell apart. And, well, they got Jazz as a new middle infielder. Offseason, they go after this guy, Zach Neto, because he's destroying them. He's 2-3 today. He freaking ripped him up yesterday.
Cashman needs to go. The entire team stinks. Billy, what is his name? Aaron Boone needs to go as well. Okay. All of them today.
Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Jerry Jones said something or CeeDee Lamb said something? What's the deal here with that contract squabble?
Jerry Jones, so they asked Jerry Jones what's going on with CeeDee Lamb's contract, and he's kind of like, I haven't really thought about it. Or, you know, basically just kind of blew it to the side, blew it off. And then CeeDee Lamb responded with a tweet, you know, retweeting it with a quote. All it says is LOL. Not going good there in Dallas land.
I pray all three of them walk.
Me too, man. I hope that Dak comes here. I hope that Parsons goes to the Eagles, and then I don't care where CeeDee Lamb goes. But anyway, CeeDee Lamb, go somewhere else.
I don't know what they're doing. And you know what? I tell myself every year, don't get worked up over contract stuff because they always work it out. I don't know if they're going to. I can't figure out what Jerry Jones and Stevie Jones are doing.
I can't imagine what they're doing. Because, and another thing, say something else. Oh, yeah, we're working on it. Or, of course, he's a top priority. We're going to get that figured out. He kind of blew it off like, eh, CeeDee who? Like, he didn't even care. It's crazy to me.
By the way, I nailed this one, huh? I did the grab bag rundown, and without even knowing, I was topic was, how much are the Yankees losing by today?
Every time I watch, I got to stop watching.
Well, don't do the show with me anywhere near a Yankee game because it always turns.
I know, it's awful.
It always goes south.
I hate it.
Reminder, we got a big show coming up on Monday, August 19th. We are going to be at Cosmopolitan Marquee coming out. Pool party with the party people. Steve's here. Tour stop number one. He does a summer tour with a couple of shows with us here at Cofield and Company. So we'll be at Marquee Cosmopolitan. Free for locals to get in. We'll be giving away some bar tabs. Cindy from Bottle Girl Diaries will be telling her stories. It's always a fun show, wild and wacky. I never say that, but it is. With one, Steve's here.
Wild and wacky, huh? I like that.
It goes off the rails a little bit.
Oh, more than usual?
We stayed kind of on the rails, except for that middle wiener part of the show. Which got, hey, we can talk anything, whatever you want.
Believe me,
that was the, pun intended, neutered discussion that we could have.
One of the guys was.
I do have to remind you about something really important. Not the greatest segue, but Dave Koken would love shows like this. Dave's Celebration of Life is going on this weekend. Want everyone to know about it. It's open to the public. Oasis Bar, one of our favorite local joints. Decatur and Tropicana, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Oasis for Dave Koken. Fans invited.
Oasis, great nachos. Try the nachos. Bomb.
I like that. I like that a lot. Good chicken fingers there as well. Follow us on Instagram at ESPN Las Vegas. Lots of stuff that I couldn't even get to today. We're going to post on UNLV football practice. Brendan Marion, the OC, man. What a future for this guy. And right now, the present is impressive with UNLV. A lot of video from Brendan. Great stuff.